our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5, the Sports Hub in Boston. Ty, good afternoon.
Rich, how are we doing? Thanks for having me.
Doing great. How was Florida?
It was good. It was nice. It was, you know, it's always nice to see how well Bruins fans travel. Seen it a little bit. But, you know, Florida, in the playoffs, I mean, you know, it felt like it was next level in terms of Bruins fans coming out and showing up for their team. So I do think it was really interesting. The split in the crowd, it felt like the Bruins gained momentum from a road crowd. And how often can you say that in the playoffs? So really impressive showing by both the team and the fans that went down there, you know, to get those games.
Yeah, and it was just a solid effort there in game four to grab that lead. How important was them to get that one and come home 3-1?
Oh, it's huge. And for me, it comes back to the first period of game four where the Panthers get the first 10 shots of the game on Linus Ullmark, and Ullmark gives them absolutely nothing. You know, I think that really set the tone, because think about it, right? Think about the difference psychologically between coming back to Boston up 3-1 and coming back tied 2-2. And, you know, I think really that effort from the Bruins created more doubt for the Panthers and gave more confidence to the Bruins. And I say that because, you know, look at Florida's defense, right? With no Aaron Ekblad in game four, they looked like a team that didn't have enough to, you know, to make up for his absence. And look at what happened in net, going with Sergei Bobrovsky over Alex Lyon in game four. I don't think came with the answer that Paul Maurice was looking for. And now entering game five, is, you know, if you're either goaltender, how can you feel confident? And I think it's the complete opposite end, you know, for the Boston Bruins right now.
And again, as we've seen throughout this remarkable season, a terrific team effort. And boy, I don't know, could anybody have expected the way that Tyler Bertuzzi's been playing lately?
Yeah, he's been fantastic, and really it's very interesting. I talked to Jim Montgomery down in Florida about it, and he said that Todd Nelson, who was an assistant coach with Montgomery in Dallas, but was also a head coach down in Grand Rapids where they won the Calder Cup with Bertuzzi, you know, he said he's built for the playoffs, that he's the kind of player who plays that greasy, grimy, you know, whatever you want to call it, game this time of year where, you know, it gets harder to score goals, so you need the guy who can, you know, jam away a net front finish or could tip a puck, you know, through traffic. And that's what Bertuzzi has been. It's been really impressive to watch him. You know, some players are built for the playoffs, and it really feels like the Bruins have one here with Tyler Bertuzzi.
Boy, and another guy who seems to be built for the playoffs, at least the way he's playing so far through these first four games, is Taylor Hall.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, he gets in three games to end the season. He was pretty adamant about playing in those three games. You know, the Bruins were kind of comfortable saying, no, we'll use you in game one and that'll be fine. But he really wanted to get out there and see how his body was feeling, try to get back in rhythm. And I think we're seeing why, right? I think he was one of their better skaters in game one. He got a goal in game two, and since then he's taken flight. You know, it's really interesting that goal in game two really means nothing. You know, they lose 6-3 instead of 6-2. But for him, it was tangible results on the board, right? And where does your confidence go from there? And I feel like you've seen that. You've seen his confidence increase each passing game. And also, you know, he had an interesting quote, I thought, between games one and two, where he said, this is probably my best chance at winning a Stanley Cup, and that's not lost on me. And I think that's telling because, you know, it's one thing to say it. It's another thing to realize that, seize the moment. And I think Taylor Hall is doing both of those things for the team right now.
Well, it's great to see Jake DeBrusk step up and play so well, too.
Yeah, this has been a sort of a return to what we expected out of Jake DeBrusk when he first came up. You know, he came up during that 2018 season, and, you know, that was his first playoff run. You saw him score some big goals for the Bruins, particularly in that Game 7 win they had against Toronto. And then he has a concussion in 2019 on the Nazem Kadri incident, kind of derails his postseason, then the COVID bubble, and then the COVID year in 2021. You know, it looked like playoff Jake was kind of a one-and-done kind of deal. But no, you know, you look at last year, he was a solid performer for them. You look at how he started this year. You know, when you have guys like this going, right, we've talked about Hall, Bertuzzi, and DeBrusk now, it takes a lot of pressure, you know, off of David Pastrnak, off of Brad Marchand. Like, you know, and that's the big difference between what you're seeing now and what you saw in years past, right? It really felt like the Bruins would live and die by what Brad Marchand and David Pastrnak did. And now, you know, when you're this deep and you have these guys scoring these goals, it just completely changes the complexion of your roster, I think. And, you know, it makes the Bruins a better, more dangerous team, as we're clearly seeing right now.
We're talking with Ty Anderson here on Downtown. Was it important for Jeremy Swayman to get in there, even if it was just for a few minutes the other night?
Yeah, you know, I think it's interesting. You know, you want to keep them loose. You want to keep them fresh. It's kind of hard to do that. They are in love with Linus Omark's performance right now. He is just taking it to another level, I think. And really what's been interesting is that they've had chances to go to Jeremy Swayman. I thought, you know, there was a chance to see him in Game 3. I thought there was a chance to see him in Game 4. But they are sticking with their guy. Omark has given them no reason to go away from him right now. He has a 924 save percentage. That is the third best among goaltenders with at least two performances in this postseason. So it's been really interesting to watch. You know, last year he gets two games and then he's benched. And you know, that was the question with this team was, did he have the makeup to be a playoff goaltender? And right now we're seeing that. You know, we're seeing that in more ways than one in terms of how he can carry a team and also how he can sort of hold the fort down while the team is finding their game.
It sounds like we won't see David Krejci tonight. What about Patrice Bergeron?
Yeah, I think Bergeron's going to be a go tonight. He practiced in full yesterday. Today, Jim Montgomery is saying that he's going to take the warm-up and see how he feels. Based on everything we know, they're leaving it to Patrice Bergeron. And with that in mind, I have a hard time believing he's not going to be playing in this game. You know, he's been itching to come back in. He feels good. He thinks that barring a setback, he'll be in. So you're just going to watch that warm-up now and see how long he lasts out there and if he's good to go. But I expect him to play just based on everything that we've had and seen leading up to this moment. I don't think you go through this extensive ramp-up if he's not feeling well enough to play.
Is there any concern tonight, and we were talking about it before we went on the air this afternoon, that the Panthers may try to get the Bruins riled up and get into some of the physical stuff and lose their focus? I don't see that, but is that a possibility?
Yeah, I think it's harder to do that on the road as a road. Mm. I think that the crowd is going to be on top of them. And referees are human, right? And if there's a loud reaction or the gasp of 18,000 people when something happens, they're probably going to assess a penalty of some sort, you think. So, you know, I think it's really interesting talking with players and coaches about this, and they've basically said that, you know, they are encouraging their guys to stay away from it, right, to play between the whistles and let them lose their minds. And I think you saw that in Game 4. You know, Matthew Tkachuk is an incredible player, but what he did in that game between the cross check to Hathaway and then trying to fight Linus Ullmark, I mean, it was embarrassing. It was clownish behavior. That's what I wrote. I called it. I mean, there's no room for that. And when you're a player of his caliber, just losing your mind like that. So I think the Bruins have done a good job of really kind of maintaining their composure, maintaining their ability to not get wrapped up in that nonsense. But, you know, at the same time, Rich, I think there's some receipts coming for a few guys. Sam Bennett with the spear to Hathaway. Hathaway took note of that. He knows who did it. You know, the Ryan Lomborg trying to choke out Trent Frederick came to at the bottom of the pile. You know, they made note of that. So, and Matthew Tkachuk, again, with what he's done all series. So I expect some payback for a few of these guys tonight, you know, should this game get out of hand.
Who's one of the guys that has gone under the radar but has been an unsung hero for the Bruins in this series?
It's a great question because there are so many guys who performed very well in this series. I would probably have to say Tomáš Nosek, a guy who is a fourth-line center, doesn't get a lot of glory in general, but he's been great on faceoffs. That fourth line has been great at setting the tone, I think, for this team. And you look at their PK, the Bruins' PK has been phenomenal in this series, and I think it really comes back down to, you know, guys like Nosek and Coyle and Fulmer and what they've done with the Bruins down a man. But another player that I think, you know, deserves some love here is Hampus Lindholm. And I say that because he had a tough start to the series, but he's been matched up against Alexander Barkov, who we all know is an incredible two-way player. But in their time on ice head-to-head, the Bruins are out shooting Florida 19-5. I mean, that's just incredible, right? And so I think those are two guys I look at and say they may not have the points, but they've had the impact on the defensive end that the Bruins have really needed to get a stranglehold on this series.
So do you think they wrap it up tonight, Ty?
I do, and I say that for a few reasons. One, I think Florida gave the Bruins their best shot in Game 4, and it was still a 6-2, 6-3 game. You know, 6-2 was the final, and so you look at that and you say, okay, you know, I think reality is setting in for that team where they realize they can't hang with this team. You know, they have to play a perfect game, and I think that their perfect game has to coincide with the Bruins' worst game. You saw that in Game 2, and if we've learned anything about this team, it's that, you know, those games tend to be followed up on with, you know, a 10-game winning streak, right? So I think you may be in the middle of that for the Bruins. And also, Bergeron being back, most likely, I think gives the Bruins such an emotional lift. You know, the theme of the season has been getting one more for Bergeron. You know, to have him on the bench, I think, will give everyone an extra pep in their step, and I think the Bruins are going to put him away tonight.
Well, it's going to be a lot of fun either way. Bruins tonight, Game 5 against the Panthers from the Garden. Ty, appreciate you making time for us, as always, and we'll catch up with you again soon.
Awesome. Sounds great. Looking forward to it.
Ty Anderson, 98.5, The Sports Hub.